Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food apocalypse GMOs when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Well, it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we now see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 not only practiced the Ten Commandments, they advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. 22 principles of that law. Now, there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, as well as the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Send us an email request for your free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about this thing of GMOs. These are called genetically modified organisms. In the Bible, there are three places in Scripture that prohibit their use. And not only are they prohibited because they're hybridized and because they violate the law of God, God has given us three more places in the Scripture where He tells us this is a bad plan, and there's an outcome that is going to overtake all of us, me included. I'm going to suffer the effect of this insanity right here in Isabella, Missouri. Now, some of us are going to suffer from it more than others. For instance, I gave you last time the example of the Titanic story, and I said, well, you know, if you were riding on the Titanic and you had 2 days warning ahead of time, you know, we're all going to be affected by this ship hitting the ice. The captain's decision to steam straight ahead at 23 knots through 5,000 square miles of icebergs, hoping not to hit one of them, his decision is going to affect everybody on this boat. And it did. And some of them it killed, and some of them, they had their trip interrupted for an extra few days while they got plucked out of the ocean. Now, they had an adventure, Now, to say the least, that was quite an adventure. Well, Molly Brown, I bet she had something to talk about at the dinner table for the rest of her life. I think I could have lived two lifetimes without having an adventure like that. But, you know, as I said before, everything that we do in life has an outcome. And the GMO decision has an outcome. And from what I see here in Bible prophecy, the outcome's pretty bad. Now, remember we looked at Matthew 24, verse 22. And the Messiah said, this is Jesus now. This is Yahweh. This is Allah. This is, you know, whoever it is you pray to. Whoever it is that you think is God, you know, karma or whatever. The creator of the universe comes along and he says, you know, the time is coming that if I don't stop this insanity, this madness over here, there would no flesh be saved alive on planet Earth. So I take a look at that, and then in Deuteronomy 28, verses 53 through 58, there's this story of the most hellacious event in cannibalism that has ever been recorded in the history of the world. There is no other recording of cannibalism that can match these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses in Deuteronomy 28, 53 through 58. Listen to this. He says, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. And I want to point out here that we now are importing, here in America, we're importing 50% of the food that you eat off your table every day comes from outside our borders. I say that's madness. That's way beyond bad policy or bad business. That is insane. But, you know, people that are insane cannot recognize insanity in themselves. And so, in verse 55, he says, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. This guy... This is Bible prophecy. Now this guy, God predicts, he says, this guy is going to save his sons and daughters for himself to eat, and he's going to keep his wife and aunt and uncles and mothers and fathers and everybody else from eating his own children. He's a pig. Now he's going to save them for himself. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his own children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress you in all of your gates. I want to point out to you that many of our industries, including garlic and broccoli, have been exported to China. And when we stop paying those Chinese and they're not getting paid, they're not going to ship. And if they don't ship, we don't eat. We don't have a garlic industry in America. It's gone. Not only have we lost our auto industry and our steel industry and our and other industries, airlines and so on, aircraft production, but in 1950, America was number one in all 15 of the economic indicators of industrial production. We were number one. America today in 2007 is not number one in any of those 15 areas of industrial or economic production. And now it is affecting food, and in the year 2008, America will be a net food importer in dollars and cents value. Yeah, it's true, we're exporting soybeans and wheat, and importing berries and grapes, and tomatoes and everything else that we eat on our tables. And that's going to come back and bite us in you know where. Now there's a siege coming. A siege, that means that there is an economic war coming. An economic war. The tender and delicate woman among you, reminded me of Britney Spears, the tender and delicate woman among you which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that comes from between her feet and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them. That's cannibalism now. For want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress you in your gates. And this is going to happen to us. Now, if you will not observe to do all of the words of this law, that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Eternal, your God. If you don't practice this law that we agreed to at Mount Sinai and inures to the heirs and the signs forever, that's just one of the many penalties that we're going to reap. Which is why I picked up this book called Food Apocalypse, GMOs, Genetically Modified Organisms. They're playing God and shoving it down your throat. It's a biblical response to the genetic engineering, written by Greg Ciola, C-I-O-L-A. He wrote the book in 2004. Now, if you want a copy of it, you can get it from BraveNewBookstore.com. That's BraveNewBookstore.com. You can call them at 512-480-2503. That's area code 512-480-2503. Now, let me carry you one step further. In Genesis 11, verse 6, this is back at the Tower of Babel. This is before Moses. This is before Job. This is before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is way back. We're not too far on this side of Noah's flood. And God said, when he came down, he took a look at what they were doing. He said, and now nothing will be restrained from them. So when we discovered nuclear technology back in the 1930s and 40s, you know, that has turned out to be a God-awful curse to us. Nuclear technology. God-awful curse. And now we've got gene splicing and we've got biotech technology, and it's going to turn out to be a God-awful curse. In fact, it's going to come back and bite us in the you-know-what. Now, there's a thing here called the Terminator gene. And Ciola says, if you thought that what we've been discussing so far is pretty angering, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's another equally horrifying aspect to genetic engineering, which is called Terminator Seed Technology, TST, or Suicide Seeds. That's truly mind-boggling. TST is the manipulation of crop seeds so that the next generation of seeds from these plants will not germinate a second time. In other words, all the seeds produced from plants that are grown with TST embedded into their DNA are infertile, and thus the name Terminator. These plants are genetically bred to grow for only one season. TST simply represents a more advanced version of gene splicing technology, and although TST is not currently in commercial use, all indications are that it will be in the not-too-distant future, and virtually all of the gene giants and many public sector institutions have an interest in this technology. Now, you know, most of you people live in the city. And that might have went right over your head, and you didn't quite grasp the significance of that. But let me take you back to the Garden of Eden. When God created the Garden of Eden, he created the world, and he made things reproduce after their kind. So, you know, you've got a corn plant over here, and this corn plant produces 36 rows of corn, 36 rows of seeds. And there's about 436 seeds on a cob, and there's two of these cobs, or two ears, on a plant. And every one of those is an exact genetic copy of the original from which it grew, and it will produce an exact genetic copy of with every seed that's in there. You know, all 872 seeds will produce an exact copy, and they grow year after year. So what the Monsanto people have done is they've come along and they have gene spliced this thing so that it won't reproduce from the seeds that it grows. And that means you've got to go back to the seed company and get new seed every year of this Terminator seed. Okay, so you say, okay, so we go back and we buy it from the seed company. So what? Well, now, remember the story a little earlier here in the series I told you about the salmon. Remember how they got to gene splicing and hybridizing the salmon and raising them in ponds? Well, some of those salmon got loose into the wild herd or the wild schools of fish. And now they're interbreeding with them. And they only produce half enough eggs to maintain the species. And so for the last 15 years, salmon in the world, in the natural wild salmon runs, are decreasing every year. And in about 20 more years, they will become extinct. Now, why is that? Well, because, you know, you get to messing around over here, and then pretty soon, you screw it up. And the same thing is happening here. Now, Monsanto is just thinking about making money. But we have a thing here called genetic drift. And the pollen that comes from these terminator seeds. Let's just picture this. Down the road, old Bob is planting terminator seed from Monsanto. You and I, we're down the road and we're planting open pollinated seed. The wind blows and genetic drift drifts down and pollinates our corn from old Joe's corn up the road. And he's got terminator seeds. And so the terminator pollen pollinates, that is, fertilizes our corn and makes our corn infertile also. Boys and girls, our fertile pollen drifting down onto Joe's terminator seed does not make his seed fertile. His sterile seed makes our fertile seed sterile. I can see why Jesus said, if I don't stop this madness, there'll no flesh be saved alive on the planet. Now, there's famine coming on the world. Famine coming on the world of such dimensions that people will be eating their own children and hiding the meat so they won't have to share it with husbands and wives. That's how bad it's going to get. So that says to me that we need to take action right now. In fact, you should have been taking action a long time ago, but you certainly need to start taking action now. Most people won't, because 95% of you people out there are what we call introverts. You are a follower. You follow George Bush. You follow Dianne Feinstein. You follow Nancy Pelosi. 5% are leaders. 5% are extroverts. 5% of people can think for themselves and say, to hell with George Bush and to hell with Nancy Pelosi and Ted Kennedy. I better act to save my own hind end while I can. So the broad majority of people, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. So by and large, most people, and the scripture confirms this is the plan, 90% of all the people on planet Earth alive today will die before the Messiah returns. 10% will be left alive when he returns. 10%. Now, this terminator gene, as it stands today, any farmer that wishes to grow a genetically modified crop must sign what is known as a technology use agreement with an approved seed dealer that stipulates that they won't harvest any seeds from the crop and replant it the following season. This is because the genetic modifications inbred into the new crop are now permanent. It's not a case where each season the biotech industry has to recreate the original modifications. All second-generation seeds will grow with the new gene traits, and that's why TST has been developed. And although many farmers are abiding by these terms, there's always going to be a renegade farmer who won't play by the rules. So Monsanto has been running a massive undercover spy operation on farmers throughout North America to assure that their patented property rights are being protected. Monsanto and the biotech industry have very stringent regulations that the approved seed dealers must abide by, and they're fully aware of every farmer that has signed a technology use agreement to know and to grow their patented products. There are rumors that Monsanto is actually able to monitor the farmers growing genetically modified crops through satellite surveillance, considering that geneticists have the ability to detect DNA transfer at the microscopic level using a DNA scanner. It shouldn't be all that shocking or surprising for you to think that somehow satellites can also be used to help the biotech industry regulate these crops. Hundreds of lawsuits are either pending or have already been settled in and out of court with farmers who Monsanto says violated their technology use agreement. Terminator seed technology, called TST, virtually guarantees that the intellectual property rights of these genetically engineered seeds will never be violated, and it will make regulation and oversight of the farmers a thousand times easier for the biotech industry. Now, why is this TST so bad? Well, since the beginning of time, farmers have always saved a certain percentage of their harvested seeds for replanting the following season. This is how agriculture has survived and is still taking place in many parts of the world today. However, once TST is implemented, farmers will be at the total mercy and whim of the giant agribusiness companies, having to purchase new seeds from them every year. And if farmers are eventually forced into growing genetically modified crops, the biotech industry will have complete control over all of the farms. So when you understand that these biotech companies are actually international corporations that have no loyalties to any one country, this scenario becomes very alarming. Now, the rationale that the biotech industry uses for producing Terminator seeds is that this technology provides them with an opportunity to recoup some of the millions of dollars they have spent in all areas of biotech research. According to biotech industry logic, if growers were to save and replant patented seeds, the negative economic impact on the companies would jeopardize the future availability and benefit of biotechnology for all growers. It all sounds logical until you understand the hidden agenda. Now, here's something interesting to ponder. If these Terminator seeds are allowed to go forward, which is a very real and distinct possibility, you can count on it, it's going to happen, where will the next generation of seeds come from to sell to the farmers for the next growing season? If you can't save the seeds and the second generation seeds are infertile, it will eventually lead to the elimination of the entire crop, unless, of course, those seeds are coming from crops specifically grown without TST in them. But if the farmers aren't growing conventional seeds, then who will be growing these seeds? Well, in an article that appeared in the January 2001 issue of RAFI Communique, they reported the following. Several recent reports issued by scientific bodies make the dangerous suggestion that there are environmentally friendly and acceptable uses for Terminator because it could be used to prevent unwanted gene flow in GM crops. Now, not very long ago, scientists downplayed the potential problem of escape of engineered seeds from GM crops. Today, we're being asked to accept engineered sterility as a biosafety bandage for crops with leaky genes. Now, for you city people out there that don't understand this leaky gene problem, let's just carry it out to its ultimate conclusion. Monsanto comes out with what they call the Terminator technology. They raise the seed that they need for next year's crop in Mexico, Argentina, or India, some country that's way away from America. They come over here and they sell us the Terminator seeds. All of my neighbors are planting Terminator seeds, but I'm a holdout. I'm not going to plant them. Through the gene leakage, my neighbors over there pollute my open-pollinated seeds and turn them into Terminator seeds. Now, I can't save my seed back because my seed are all sterile also. Now, we're all in the same boat. We all get our seed from India, Afghanistan, or someplace else. Now, I've got to go with my hat in my hand to Monsanto and say, please, please, sell me some seed. And they'll say, sign this agreement, Gordon, and we'll sell you our Terminator seeds. Or they may say, no, we don't like you, Gordon. We're not even going to sell you the Terminator seeds. Go starve to death and be quiet about it. That's what's coming. And that's why the Bible is kind of emphatic about this thing of famine. We're doing it to ourselves. And these big multinational corporations over here have the backing of the media, who are backing them by strategically promoting and then blacking out the bad news and promoting the good news. And government. George Bush appeared before their association, so did Bill Clinton. Both the Clinton and Bush administrations gave them wholehearted and full backing from the Republicans and the Democrats. So if you think that there's a political solution to this, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy again. You can forget politics. That isn't going to save your bacon. And you can forget the media. They're in on the scam. And you can forget the grocers of America because they're in with the Terminator seed technology folks over at Monsanto. So you can sit back and relax because Terminator technology is coming to a city near you shortly. And the only solution for you is at the local level, and that's for you and your family. And you take action today or you don't. It's your choice. And I'm not going to get mad at you. Don't write me an email and tell me I'm a kook or a moron and that you don't believe that this is going to happen. I don't care. No skin off my back. I'm a reporter. I just report facts, and I got some facts here, and I thought, well, geez, this would make a hell of a story. It's not even my story. This story has been out here for several years. This book was written in 2004. This story has been out here for 3 years. Did you hear this story? Did you hear this from Katie Couric? Did Brian Williams, reporting from New Orleans, say, by the way, let me explain to you Terminator technology? Now, these guys, you know, they report to you the bizarre. They report the hurricanes. You know, the off-the-wall stories that are unusual, kill a bunch of people, you know. But this story here threatens the entirety of humankind. The Messiah himself said so. Man, this is a threat to every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. I never heard a word from the mainstream media. So that's why I recommend that you write this down because, you know, you may someday, and I'm going to die one of these days, and when I do, you won't have me here to, as old Dick Nixon said, to kick around anymore. You won't have me to tell you where you can buy a copy of this book, so I'm going to do it one more time. BraveNewBookstore.com. These guys carry all kinds of crazy books like this. These are the books that you can't get ordinarily anywhere else. The reason you haven't heard about this is because this isn't being published on the New York Times bestseller list. New York Times is not promoting this book. They're a part of the problem, not the solution. All right, so this is called the BraveNewBookstore.com. That's on the internet. They got a phone number. It's 512-480-2503. Can you write that fast? All right. Sharpen your pencil now on both ends. 512, that's the area code. That's Austin, Texas. 480-2503. If you live down there and you want to go into the bookstore, it's at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B. Don't ask me for directions. Austin, Texas, 78705. That's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas. Now, I was talking to a guy down there, and he says their bookstore is within sight of the Texas Tower on the University of Texas campus, and they're within sight of it. And so that's all I can tell you. All right, so there's the story on Terminator technology. Who's responsible for all this crap? Who's doing this anyway? Does anybody have an idea? Well, over here on page 88, what role do farmers play in the promotion of this genetic engineering? What are the farmers? What's their culpability in this program? Hang on, I got to give you a mid-course reminder, and we'll come back and take a look at the farmers involved in just a moment. Meanwhile, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended will reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, our sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network, or this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org. And the phone here is 417-273-4967. Now, farmers are playing a role here. The farmers of America, by and large, are the product of their environment. I'm not making excuses for them, but, you know, they go to ag school, and they're taught evolutionary philosophy. They come out of ag school, and they believe the crap that they've been taught. That's how people are generally educated. We send them off here, and we give them a guru. It could be religious, you know. It could be sectarian. It could be military, whatever it is. We send them off. The guru tells them this is the way it is. They believe it. They believe it until they get to be about 40. And then they go through midlife crisis. Then it dawns on them, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the way they told me it was going to be back when I was going to school. So have you been wondering what American farmers think about growing genetically modified crops? Well, it may come as a surprise that many of them are in favor of biotechnology. Farmers, like all businessmen, need to make money, and biotech crops are offered to them as a way to make a better profit. Furthermore, genetically modified crops don't appear to be any different from the traditional crops that they're used to. So it's no wonder that so many farmers are supportive of the technology, but a small percentage, and I'm one of that small percentage, are against genetic modification, and as time has gone by, more and more farmers are starting to wake up to the fact that this science doesn't follow through with the promises that have been made. So it's important to keep in mind that American farmers did not create this technology, nor are they entirely to blame for the problem. So unless you fully understand what farmers have been through, you may feel a certain degree of anger towards them for growing so many genetically modified crops. The American farmer has been the victim of big business and globalization for more than 50 years. And this technology is just another way to destroy whatever is left of America's family farms. The U.S. government has implemented a host of unfavorable trade policies that have been working against our own farmers for more than 50 years and couldn't survive without being subsidized. Consequently, these farmers are doing the best they can to stay afloat. Now, over the last few years, farmers have had to deal with serious droughts, increasing fuel prices, and a dramatic drop in crop prices. These setbacks have left many wondering how much longer they can hold out before closing their farm businesses. Many of them have been coerced into believing biotechnology will be their savior. Unfortunately, to the farmer's detriment, they are bound to legal contracts making them entirely dependent upon the biotech industry and the government for their future success. Many of America's farmers still have vivid memories of the farming crisis of the early 1980s and are very aware of how today's situation may change very quickly. In the late 70s, farmers were offered tremendous loan packages in order to modernize their equipment and drastically increase their output and efficiency. Thousands of farmers who never had loans before and were living on land they inherited from their family were suddenly deep in debt. So what happened next was tragic. Interest rates soared to 20%, and not surprisingly, many of these farmers couldn't pay back their loans. To protect their investors, the banks called in many of the notes. Since many farmers couldn't come up with the money, thousands of them lost everything they had. Farms were sold off for pennies on the dollar. Huge agribusiness corporations that cared little for the small farmers scooped up these farms and consolidated them into huge farming conglomerates using cheap immigrant labor from south of the border. And in my opinion, GM crops are just another subtle way for the big boys to wrest whatever control is left from America's farmers. Now, to play this biotech game, farmers are signing away their independence in the same way that they did in the 1970s and early 80s. Soon they will be at the total mercy of big business, and if and when Terminator seeds are approved, the sellout will be complete. Sure, you may still own their land, but they will be able to grow virtually nothing without paying or obeying the monster that seeks to devour them. As the American farmer goes, so goes the world. Now, here's a letter from an American farmer sent to Great Life magazine in January of 2001, which eloquently expresses the view of many American farmers on this issue. He says, "I'm a grassroots farmer, farming the same ground my ancestors farmed more than 100 years ago. In your article, 'Are GMOs in Good Taste?' in the August 2000 issue, on page 50, you noted that GMOs are good economic sense for farmers. Well, I'd like you to know that this is not the position of a significant number of us grassroots farmers. Gene technology is being used to manipulate the farmers and to enslave them to the global agricultural corporations, as much as borrowed money did in the past. But the reason you probably believe this is because the same global corporations who enslaved the farmers have been assumed to speak and think for the farmers. Believe me, they do not. We believe in public choice and labeling. Let the consumers decide in the marketplace what they want to buy. This is the balancing power of the free enterprise system. And also, there has to be diversity in the marketplace. There has to be real choices to choose from and real competition, or this balancing power of the consumer is displaced. The lack of labeling threatens to end this consumer power, which is better known as pocketbook voting. So if you think OPEC is bad, you wait until you have OPEC of food. And not only will they be in charge of prices, choices, and availability of foods, but the public will not know what is in their foods. And they will only tell the public what they want the public to believe. And the public will not have any choice but to go along with it if they still want to eat." Now, that was a letter written by Gerald Hubbard of Johnson, Kansas. Well, Bill Christensen, the president of the U.S. National Family Farm Coalition, who operates a 2,000-acre farm producing soybeans, maize, wheat, hay, and cattle, is another farmer who is unhappy with genetically engineered crops. At a gathering on biodevastation in St. Louis, Missouri, in July of 1998, Christensen made several comments against biotechnology. The promise was that you could use less chemicals and produce greater yield. But let me tell you that none of that is true. The biotech industry wanted us to sign a production agreement, a contract which limited what we could do with our own production. It is our practice to produce our own seed for the following year's planting. Now, because the contract forbids this, it would have cost us three times as much for seed. And then there's a problem of paying for the patenting fee of several dollars per bag. Then we found GMO seed actually produces a lower yield because of the varieties that had been altered. The acceptance of GMOs by the U.S. farmer is predicated by the fact that farmers are hard-pressed to survive financially and have become acclimated to the idea that new technology is good technology. Just because we can do it doesn't mean that we should do it. Now, earlier I told you about the Iowa farmer, the pig farmer that went belly up. Now, just in case you thought that maybe all scientists are in favor of biotechnology, here's an open letter from world scientists to all governments concerning genetically modified organisms. They're called GMOs. The Institute of Science in Society, based in the United Kingdom, put the following letter together. And as of July 2004, it's been signed by more than 700 scientists from 77 countries. Previous versions of this letter were submitted to many governments and international forums, including the World Trade Organization, UN Biosafety Protocol Meeting, the UN Commission on Sustainable Development, and the UN Convention on Biological Diversity Conference in Nairobi, Kenya, May 16, 2000. And it was given to the United States Congress on the 29th of June, 2000. It says in part, "We, the undersigned scientists, call for the immediate suspension of all environmental releases of GM crops and products, both commercially and in open field trials, for at least 5 years, for patents on living processes, organisms, seeds, cell lines, and genes to be revoked and banned, and for a comprehensive public inquiry into the future of agriculture and food security for us all. Patents on life forms and living processes should be banned because they threaten food security, sanction biopiracy of indigenous knowledge and genetic resources. They violate basic human rights and dignity and compromise health care. They impede medical and scientific research, and they are against the welfare of animals. GM crops offers no benefits to farmers whatsoever or to consumers. Instead, many problems have been identified, including yield drag, increased herbicide use, erratic performance, and poor economic returns to farmers. Genetically modified crops also intensify corporate monopoly on food, which is driving family farmers to destitution and preventing the essential shift to sustainable agriculture that can guarantee food security and health for everyone around the world. Now, the hazards of GMOs to biodiversity and human and animal health are now acknowledged by sources within the UK and the United States governments. Particularly serious consequences are associated with the potential for horizontal gene transfer. These include the spread of antibiotic resistance marker genes that would render infectious diseases untreatable. the generation of new viruses and bacteria that cause diseases and harmful mutations which may lead to cancer. In the Cartagena Biosafety Protocol negotiated in Montreal in January of 2000, more than 130 governments have pledged to implement the precautionary principle and to ensure that biosafety legislations at the national and international levels take precedence over trade and financial agreements at the World Trade Organization. And successive studies have documented the productivity and the social and environmental benefits of stable, low-input, and organic farming on both North and South America. They offer the only practical way of restoring agricultural land degraded by conventional agronomic practices and empower small family farmers to combat poverty and hunger. So we urge the U.S. Congress to reject GM crops as both hazardous and contrary to the interest of family farmers, and to support research and development of sustainable agricultural methods that can truly benefit family farmers all over the world. And we, the undersigned scientists, call for the immediate suspension of all of the environmental releases of GM crops and products, both commercially and in open field trials, for at least 5 years, for patents on living processes or organisms, seeds, cell lines, and genes to be revoked and banned, and for a comprehensive public inquiry into the future of agriculture and food security for all. Now that's what the scientists, 700 of them, are saying around the world in some 70-some-odd countries, 77 countries. Not all scientists, not everybody that's engaged in science now is worshiping the god of gene technology. There's a group of us out here that are opposed to it, and here's why. Now, President Bush spoke to a group along with President Clinton, so I wanted to let you know what George Bush thought about biotechnology. He said, "It's a pleasure to be with so many leaders in such a vital industry. Each of you is carrying on the incredible work begun some 50 years ago by Drs. Watson and Crick. Since then, biotechnology is advancing knowledge and relieving suffering. In the years to come, the contributions of your industry will help us to win the war on terror, will help us to fight hunger around the world, and will help us to save countless lives with new medicines. My administration is committed to working with your industry so that the great powers of biotechnology can serve the true interests of our nation and of all mankind." God, isn't that just sweet? As my Aunt Bessie used to say, isn't that sweet? Well, yes, Aunt Bessie, that's real sweet. Bill Clinton, he said, "Recognizing the extraordinary promise and benefits of this enterprise, my administration has pursued policies to foster biotechnology innovations as expeditiously and prudently as possible. We have supported steady increases in funding for basic scientific research at the National Institutes of Health and other science agencies, accelerated the process for approving new medicines to make them available as quickly and safely as possible, encouraged private sector research investment and small business developments through tax incentives and the Small Business Innovation Research Program. We have promoted intellectual property protection and even international markets for biotechnology inventions and products, and developed public databases that enable scientists to coordinate their efforts in an enterprise that has become one of the world's finest examples of partnership among university-based researchers, government, and private industry." unquote. Those are remarks by former U.S. President Bill Clinton when he declared in January of 2000 as National Biotechnology Month. So if you think there's a political solution and Nancy Pelosi is going to stop George Bush, I think you're whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Now the politics of it work something like this. In order for a politician to be reelected to office, he has to have money to put on television ads because you people vote for the guy whose face is in front of your TV the most often. It's very scientific. It's no big mystery about this. If you take an incumbent candidate like our Senator Kit Bond and you want to run against him, you've got an uphill battle from the get-go. First of all, he's an incumbent, and he could be an incumbent communist. Wouldn't make any difference. The mere fact that he's an incumbent gives him the edge. And that's because he's got name and face recognition. And you would rather vote for somebody that you know than for a stranger. So, George Bush is somebody that you know, so if we were to put up against George Bush a total stranger, you'd vote for George Bush even though you don't like him because he's a known quantity versus an unknown quantity. So that's the way people are. That's the way people vote. That's the way elections are won. It's very scientific. We take a look at what it is that people gravitate to, and they gravitate to name and face recognition. That's number one. Now, the pharmaceutical industry, which is probably the number one industry in America, backed by, if they're not number two, they may be number one, the American Medical Association. That's the medical monopoly. These are the two biggest enterprises in America. That's medicine at 16% of the gross domestic product. And then there are pharmaceuticals that go right behind it. Now, these two industries are the backbone. Pharmaceuticals are the backbone of the genetic revolution. They're the ones that are number one behind it. Now, they also support medicine. So now what you've got is the biotech industry supported by the two biggest industries in the country. That's medicine and pharmaceuticals. Now, those people give a lot of money to politicians like Kit Bond, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, George Bush, and so on. And those politicians need that money to get reelected because they've got to get on TV to put their faces out there in front of you on those 30 and 60 second ads that you see on television. And don't sit there and say that you're not influenced by those because that's not true. You may be in denial and you may say, well, that doesn't affect me. That's not why I buy Coca-Cola. But it is. It is. It's called brainwashing. Brainwashing. Very scientific. Nothing new about it. Been around for years and years. Now, it is true that we can't make everybody buy Coca-Cola. But at the end of the day, there's about five Coke companies. You know, it's Coca-Cola, Royal Crown, Shasta, PepsiCo. There's about five of those companies. And if you want to know who sells the most, it's Coca-Cola. But you take all of them together, they sell about 95% of all of the soft drinks sold in America. There's a handful of little rinky-dink companies out here that sell some soda pop through health food stores. Their market share is so low, they don't even count. They don't even come up on the radar screen. All right, so now tuck that one away in your heart. And it's that way in every industry. They all work the same. There's a politics of cancer. We'll cover that one of these days. I'll pick up the politics of cancer. There is no cancer cure, and there will be none for the general public. There are 13 cancer cures for anybody that's got it and wants to get rid of it. That's why I said the other day, you know, instead of marching for cancer or racing for cancer or walking for cancer and trying to raise money for cancer research, you can save your time, effort, and energy. You've already got 13 cancer cures out there, and 10 of them were discovered by the American Medical Association, and they've canned all of them. And that's because cancer is too big an industry to let go of. You can't take it. It represents, let's see, cancer represents about half of the medical practice, and 16% of all medical practice, or 16% of the gross domestic product, is in medical practice. It's headed toward 20% by about the year 2020 or 2015, something like that. One job out of every five, $1 out of every two, or $1 out of every five is going to be generated by medicine. Now add to that pharmaceuticals, then boys and girls, you can't have a cancer cure that's out here in general practice, because if you did, it would wreck our economy. It would destroy the economy of the world. It would destroy the economy of America. It would wreck all of us. Now, I'm sorry for you 500,000 people a year that die every year from cancer, but you need to understand that you're a vital part of the American dream, a vital part of the American economy. Your death, you know, like the death of a monarch butterfly this year, is the fertilizer for next year's crop. We need your death for that reason. Thank God for you people with cancer. You know, sorry you had to die, but then that's the politics of cancer. Now, there's a politics here of genetically modified organisms. And that is that the people who are the movers and shakers of the American economy, of the American political system, the American economic system, the pharmaceuticals, the medical, the medicines, these are the people that are in control. They want the GMOs. It's in their best interest. And they're going to have them. And they are going to buy the politicians that they need to vote it in. Now, if you want to resist it, you're going to be down here with a very small minority of people who are going to resist. And you can do it, and you can do it successfully. So let me tell you about this book one more time. It's called GMOs, Food Apocalypse. It's written by a guy named Greg Ciola, C-I-O-L-A, and you can get a copy of it from BraveNewBookstore.com. Just get on the internet, BraveNewBookstore.com. Or you can call him at 512-480-2503. And that's 512 in Austin, Texas. The number is 480-2503. Ask them what it's going to cost to get a case of them and go out here and write a letter, a personal letter, to each one of these companies that you're impressed with or that you're interested in, and let them know what you think, because every letter you write is equal to 50 letters. They'll count your letter as 50 if you write a personal letter. Hey, I'm out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there. So let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get one. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.